The book of Psalms, if I could direct you to the 55th Psalm and the verse 22, and then there's some words in Galatians 6. The Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And then Galatians 6, the verses 2 and 5, the verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then the fifth verse says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." So it's these verses we want to consider together with the Lord's help today. There is a character from Greek mythology that's very well known by the name of Hercules. The thing in particular that Hercules is remembered for, and most people will know about Hercules, is the fact that in Greek mythology he's the man that held the world up upon his shoulders. And I want you to think of Hercules this morning at the outset, and maybe, brethren and sisters, that's how you feel today as you come to the house of God. You have so many worries, so many concerns. There's so many problems in your life, in your home. You have so many cares that are weighing you down, so many burdens that you're carrying. Some of those burdens are heavy. They're very weighty. There's so many things that's going on that you feel today, just like Hercules. You feel as if you're carrying the whole world upon your shoulders. And often when you're found in that position, you just don't know what to do. You don't know how to react or how to act, or you don't know how to respond to those sort of circumstances. The theme that I want to speak on for a little while this morning is the theme of what to do with life's burdens. And I pray it'll be a help to you, the study that we'll engage in. Pray the Lord will write it upon your heart. We've taken three texts, three verses of Scripture, two from Galatians, one from the Psalms. The link between them all is that they all deal with the burdens of life. The thing about these verses is they deal with different aspects of life's burdens. There's no contradiction between them, no contradiction in any of the verses of the Bible, and there's no contradiction between these three texts that we have taken this morning. They're all dealing with life's burdens from a different angle, a different perspective. And I want us to look at each one of them in turn in the will of God. And I pray there'll be a help to you, an encouragement, means of strengthening you and guiding you as together we learn this morning what to do, what we should do as God's people with life's burdens. The first one I'll speak about is here, Galatians 6 and 5. And we'll speak about it under the heading of the burden shouldered. Galatians 6 and 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." The text, men and women, is a warning. It's a warning against carelessness, a warning against laziness, especially in the work of God. The reality today is there's a work, there's a service, there's a duty for you. There's a work that you personally must perform in the service of Christ. And the question, and I ask you to consider the question is, are you doing that work? Have you shouldered the burden of service that the Lord has for you? Mr. Spurgeon, in his book, John Plowman's Talk, it was a very popular little publication, still is to this day. John Plowman's Talks, the very first chapter, he addresses it to the idle. And maybe that describes you today. Sadly, there are many idle Christians. And brethren and sisters, that ought not to be the case. Remember what the Lord said to Pharaoh through Moses, "Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness." That's the reason the Lord has saved you. But sadly, there are many idle Christians. That's what the Savior said himself when he was here upon this earth. Remember, he told us the laborers are few. There's not many workers in the church. And the fact is, That is true of every church, regardless of what size the congregation might be. Do you remember the young man, Mark? He deserted Paul, deserted the missionary team. The Bible says of him, he went not with them to the work. The work is specifically mentioned as a reason why he turned back at that time. And I want you to notice that Paul, think of the great apostle, the great missionary, even Paul had those that left him, those that deserted him, those that left the work. As far as Mark is concerned, later he was restored. Later on he put things right again. But at the first, he went not with them to the work. And there are many Christians, many even in this church today, and you can be described just like that. You think of how long you have been saved, how long you've been attending this church, maybe longer than you care to think of or remember, and yet in all that time, you haven't gone to the work. You went not with us to the work. You do so little, maybe do nothing at all in the service of Christ. You think of the words of Jeremiah. He says, they're quite a strong, clear statement, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." That word deceitfully literally can be rendered negligently. Isn't it a strong warning, brethren and sisters? The prophet is saying, if you have been careless, if you have been negligent, if you're neglecting the gift that is in thee, as Paul says in the New Testament, if you've been careless in the Lord's service, that's something you should be worried or concerned about, because the Lord is not pleased. The Lord certainly is not happy with your life and the way that you're living your life. You think of the judgment day. We sang about it in that psalm, the judgment seat of Christ. There is a judgment coming, men and women. We'll all stand before the judgment. This text before us, Galatians 6 and 5, is an application to the judgment day. Because in the judgment day, you will shoulder the burden, because you will answer for yourself. No one else will speak for you, speak in your defense on that day. The Bible says in the book of Romans that every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. You just think of it. What if you had to give that account today, on this day? What sort of account would it be? What sort of account would you have to give? Some of you that are familiar with rugby and the rugby circles know the name of Sid Miller, awarded the Legion d'Honneur by the French authorities some time back. They said at that time he had given his life to rugby. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with playing rugby. Nothing wrong with watching rugby. But just think of it, men and women. Isn't it very sad when a person's life is almost over, and really all that can be said about it is they spent their entire life on this earth promoting rugby or some other trivial worldly pursuit, maybe like business or some of those things. What a waste that is. By contrast, you think of our brother Bob McAllister, still lives in this city, a veteran servant of the Lord, coming 94 in a few months' time, gave his life to the gospel, gave his life to the work of God, gave his life to the winning of souls. And the question, men and women, is what are you giving your life to as you think of it today? John said in his epistle, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear," we're looking for the appearing of Christ, the coming again, "when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." That's teaching us. There are some people, some Christians, that will be ashamed when the Lord comes again. Would you want to be one of them? Would you want to be ashamed when the Lord Jesus returns and you stand before him because you wasted your life, you neglected to serve him as you ought, to serve him as he wanted? You didn't shoulder the burden of service. Every man shall bear his own burden, the burden shouldered. I want you to think as well of the burden shared. You have it there in the second verse of the same passage, Galatians 6. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The burden shared. Thomas Guthrie, famous Scottish preacher, wrote a very profitable series of studies on the Christian armour. One day he was walking through the streets of Edinburgh early in the morning. He met a group of children on their way to school. One of the children was being carried on the shoulders of one of the older lads. He inquired about it, found the little lad had burnt his feet the night before. And this fellow was helping him to get to school, carrying him upon his own shoulders. And brethren and sisters, there are times that that's what the Christian is to do. I want to impress that upon you today. Here's a work. Here's a ministry to get a vision for, a fresh vision for. There's times as Christians we're to help others with their burdens. At times, just like that older lad that Thomas Guthrie met, we're to carry others through the problems and carry them through the difficulties of life. Especially what Paul is speaking of here in Galatians 6 verse 2 is the backslider, the person that has fallen into sin, gotten away from the Lord. Notice verse 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. So the message is, we are to help those who have gone astray. And I say to you this morning, brethren, here's a very neglected duty in the Church of Jesus Christ. Whenever a Christian falls or goes astray today, often what happens is the very opposite. The very opposite of helping them. They're criticized, they're denounced, they're talked about. And through many of those things, driven further away from the house of God and further away from the Lord himself. We throw stones at them. We let them go on. Or like the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan, we pass them by on the other side of the street. And how sad and how wrong that is. This text, bearing one another's burdens, that teaches us that we're to go after them. That's what the Lord wants us to do. We're to help them. The Lord wants you to seek to restore, to recover that person, to bear the burden in that regard. There's a story of a young girl. She was sent every day to get some milk for the home. And one day when she was crossing the road with the milk, she stumbled and tripped and fell. And she lost all the milk, ran down the road. There was a man nearby and he saw her. And his response was that he laughed at the young girl. And he said to her, your mother will give you a beating for that whenever you get home. The girl replied, no, she won't. My mother believes in giving me another chance. Another chance. Can I ask you, brethren and sisters, did you laugh? Did you laugh when a child of God fell into sin, they and their family got into trouble? If you did, shame on you. Shame on you. Look at verse 1 of the passage. Look at it very carefully. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And look at these words. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The word tempted, of course, is the idea of being tried or tested. So you're to be careful about the reaction. Consider yourself. Didn't Paul say the same thing writing to the Corinthians? He that thinks he stands, let him take heed. When you see others fall and get into difficulties and trouble, be careful how you respond. He that thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he falls. Remember, just like that little girl said, God believes in another chance. You think of Peter, the man that denied the Lord. What a denial it was. No ordinary denial. stood there that day, and with foul language on his tongue, with oaths and curses, denied that he ever knew Jesus Christ. Did he get another chance in the service of Christ? Yes, he did. He was recommissioned. The Lord came to him and said, just as Peter denied him three times over, the Lord recommissioned him, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. You think of Jonah, the man that ran away, preacher on the run. Maybe there's someone here, God has been calling you and you're on the run, running away from the will of God for your life. Well, Jonah ran away. Did he get another chance to go and serve the Lord and preach the gospel? Yes, he did. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Even though he'd failed and sinned and grieved the Lord, he's the God of the second chance. And brethren and sisters, what of those that fail? What of those that fail in this community? What of those that fail in this church? Did they get another chance? We see here, we learn here, the ministry of restoration. The ministry of going after the fallen. You know, one of the greatest things that any of us can do as a Christian is to learn to be an encourager. Many Christians are like buckets of cold water. They pour cold water in everything you do. They deal only in discouragement. But we need to learn to be like Barnabas, the great encourager, the son of consolation and the son of exhortation, as his name actually means. George Truett, who was the famous pastor in Dallas for many years, George Truett told the story of a fire that was taking place in an American city at one time, in quite a large building. They had the ladders up from the fire engines, seeking to rescue the people from the flames. When they thought everyone was out, they noticed one more young girl still in the building. A young firefighter went up and into the building and wrapped some cloths around her and sought to bring her out, and the flames were getting bigger and stronger. And when the young lad saw the flames, he fainted, and they thought he was going to fall from the ladder. And the fire chief, looking up and watching his brave young firefighter, saw what was happening. And to all the other colleagues on the ground, he shouted to them and he said, "Cheer him, boys, cheer him." And the cheer went up and the young fellow got strength and courage from that. And brethren and sisters, there's a great lesson for us there. That's what's needed. Often when those who are falling, the psalmist speaks of those whose feet is almost gone. We need to do the same. Cheer them. Need to support them, encourage them in the things of God, their walk with the Lord, in all they're seeking to do for Christ. Think of the words of Isaiah the prophet. Listen to them carefully. They helped every one his neighbor. They helped every one his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." Supported them and encouraged them on. And that's what we're to do, brethren and sisters. That's the spirit, that's the attitude, the outlook for those that are around us. You're to help them. You're to share the burden. You're to speak a word of encouragement to them. As the book of Hebrews says, we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The reason for those words is so much the more as we see the day approaching. The days is going to get worse. The days is going to become more difficult to be faithful in the Christian life. So as the end of the age approaches and the return of Christ draws nigh, there's going to be all the more need for us as Christians to exhort one another in our fellowship together. And I want to encourage you to do that. Do you know what is often wrong, brethren and sisters? If we had the grace to see it and acknowledge it. Often what's wrong with Christians and the Christian churches, we're far too hard-hearted. Far too hard-hearted to others and their need, their circumstances and their plight. And that, brethren and sisters, is one of the reasons why the Lord lets us fall. That's why one of the reasons why the Lord brings difficulties into your life is to give you more understanding. It's to teach you to be more compassionate, to have more empathy, more sympathy for others in the circumstances in which they find themselves. So there's the burden shouldered, the burden shared. And the other is over there in the 55th Psalm, that 22nd verse, what a verse it is. And that's the burden shed, S-H-E-D. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. May the Lord write that text upon your heart today. If you read Psalm 55 in its entirety, and I encourage you to do that, if you read the whole of Psalm 55, one of the things that you will find is this. It teaches you that one of the things that Christians want to do when they're burdened, weighed down, been crushed under the burdens of life, one of the things that Christians want to do is to run away from their circumstances and their situation, just like Elijah and just like Jonah. Even those great men of God felt like that and had that same experience. The verse 6 of Psalm 55 says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." And many people have felt just like that. And maybe that's exactly how you feel today. And there's not a one of us, if we're honest, there's not a one of us that there doesn't come a time we have those emotions and those feelings. What we think is, I'll give up, I'll get out, I'll run away from this, I'll fly away. And that's maybe just the very thought that's in your mind right now. You want to fly away. Well, the reality, men and women, can I say this to you gently and tenderly? The reality is, however much you feel like that, that's not the answer. It never is the answer. Because it doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter where you go on this earth, how far away you go, doesn't matter. The burden will always be with you. Because remember how you're made. You have a memory. You have a personality. You have a conscience. And that means that you'll take that burden. Should you go to the far side of the globe, you will still have that burden with you. So running away doesn't work. Running away doesn't solve the situation. Running away isn't the answer. You ask me then, what am I to do? Where am I to go? Well, the answer's in the text. You go to the Lord. He's the one to go to. The text says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And what an encouragement, men and women. What an encouragement that is to our hearts today. Scriven said in that hymn that we sang, are we weak and heavy laden? Are you cumbered with a load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And that, men and women, is the answer to your burdens. Take it to him. Pray about it. Tell the Lord all about it. Take your burden to him at the throne of grace. Do you know the reason why many Christians are always burdened? It's because they don't pray about those things. They don't come to the prayer meetings. And I urge you, come out. Come out to the prayer meetings. We can bear one another's burdens. We can pray about those things together at the throne of grace. And if you do pray about your burden, brethren and sisters, the Lord will do one of two things. He will carry the burden for you. The text says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. In other words, let the Lord have it. Give it to him. Let the Lord carry the burden for you. There's another hymn that says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's something we find difficult to do. Something that many of us have never learned. We take it to the Lord and then we gather it up and take it away with us again. Leave it there. Cast it upon him, as the text says. If you read the story of Hudson Taylor and his missionary work in China, when he was traveling in that land, He would employ men that were called coolies. The coolies were men that would carry his belongings, carry his luggage. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord will do. If you bring the burdens of life to him, he will carry the luggage of life. F.W. Boreham, who was a great writer, an Englishman, Baptist circles, the last man brought into Spurgeon's College before Spurgeon died. I visited F.W. Boreham's church in Hobart in Tasmania. F.W. Boreham, in one of his books is actually called The Luggage of Life, and he's an article in that book all about it. And that's what the Lord will do for you. He will carry the luggage of life for you. He'll take the burden away. Praise his name. But you need to remember this. It's not always his will to do that. That's a difficult thing to accept. It's a difficult thing for us to see and to take. But it's not always the Lord's will to take the burden away. And it's good just to take a moment. That wee word, selah, we emphasized in the reading. We need to pause sometimes and pray for grace to take it in. But that's a lesson the Lord wants us to learn, something the Lord wants us to understand. You remember the Savior in Gethsemane, how he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Stonewall Jackson, or Thomas Jackson, the famous Confederate general, died as a result of friendly fire. One of his own soldiers shot him. They were riding into the camp one night, just after dark, and the young man that was on sentry duty, whatever happened, whether it was a lapse of concentration, but when he saw the soldiers approaching, he thought it was the enemy, and he lifted up his musket and he fired, and he shot Stonewall Jackson, shot the great general. He didn't die immediately, but he was fatally wounded. His wife, as you can imagine, was greatly distressed. They were a godly couple. You read the story of their life. And she said she was going to go away and pray for her husband, that the Lord's hand would be upon him. And as she turned her back to go from him to pray, he said, "Dear, remember in your petition to use the words, 'Lord, if it be thy will. Lord, if it be thy will.'" Even as he was facing death himself. And we need to see that, men and women, and learn it. It's not always his will. Not always. Not always possible for the bitter cups of life to be taken away from us. Many times the burden must remain with us. Many times it's his will that the burden isn't taken. Oh, we can pray earnestly. We can pray persistently. But still that trial, that problem remains and it persists. And you ask today, well, what does the Lord do then? Well, that's the other thing as we pray about our burdens. Is he will give you the strength. He will give you the power that is needed to carry that burden. To carry that burden in the future. And if it is his will so to be, to carry that burden for the rest of your days. The text says, he will sustain thee. And I pray that the Lord will help you to understand that this morning. He'll help you through, brethren and sisters. He'll help you through every moment of every hour of every day. And what an encouragement that is to our hearts. Jim Elliot, the missionary to the Aucas of South America, one of the great, great quotes that he's remembered for is the words, "The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not sustain you." If you're in his will and he leads you every step, however hard the path, however difficult, how painful, he'll never lead you where his grace will not sustain you. He's saying the Lord always gives the grace that is needed to do that work and to carry on. And men and women, that is the teaching of the Scriptures, the teaching of the Word of God. The promise is grace to help in time of need. In every time of need, not just the odd one, in every time of need, when the time comes, he'll give you the grace to help you through it. He says in the book of Isaiah, he gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You feel faint today under the burden, just like those that labored with Nehemiah, the strength of the burden, a bearer's of burden, was decayed. Maybe you feel like that today and you're going to faint. Well, he gives power to the faint. Where do you get that power from the Lord when you're fainting? It's they that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. You think of Paul, the thorn in the flesh. It was a bodily ailment, and he prayed about it, rightly so. Sets us a great example in that regard. And he prayed the Lord would take it away, that it would depart from him. And he was persistent. Scriptures tell us specifically he prayed about it 3 times. But the answer was no. No, Paul. Not going to take the burden away. Not going to make you better. I'm not going to take from you that bodily affliction. But what the Lord did promise Paul was this: my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's one of the reasons, brethren and sisters, why bad things happen to good people. He wants us to lean more on him. Sometimes we're too strong to receive his blessing, to receive his help. And that's why sometimes he has to stretch forth and touch us and weaken us, that we will lean all the more upon him. His grace is sufficient for every person, for every trial, for every situation. And as the Lord gave that promise to Paul those many years ago, he gives it to every brother, every sister here in this meeting today. So here's a little, men and women, a little study on what to do with life's burden. Shoulder the burden. Every man must bear his own burden. We're to share the burden. Bear ye one another's burdens. And you can shed the burden. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Can I say this in closing? There's some here, and you have another burden, and that's the burden of your sin, the burden of your guilt. Maybe that's what you've been weighed down under in the meeting this morning. You ask, what should I do with that burden of my guilt and my sin? Well, bring it to the Lord. You need to cast that burden, the burden of your sin, upon the Lord today. Doesn't he say in the New Testament, one of the greatest gospel invitations in the New Testament, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, weighed down with your sin. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You've carried that burden long enough, and I want to urge you this morning to come to the Lord in faith. Come to the Lord for salvation, and let him take that burden away from you today. 474, John Muir's lovely hymn, Days Are Filled with Sorrow and Care, Hearts Are Lonely and Drear, Burdens Are Lifted,